Right. Just so you know, I taught Jeremy everything he knows, by the way. I showed him those lines when he was like 5 or something like that, I'm sure. Yeah, okay. If you didn't know, Jeremy's my little kid. Well, not so little anymore. Wow, it's just great to worship, isn't it? I almost just didn't come up tonight. I thought, hey, just sing some more. But anyway, we'll do that some night. Would you like that? Just sing, sing. Okay. If someone's out there whispering, any chance we get to get you to shut up, Mark, be great. Just sing. Anyway, so in a few days I leave for Berlin, Wednesday. So this is my last chance to share with you for a couple weeks. So I'd like to ask you if you'd pray for me while I'm gone. I leave Wednesday night, and by the time I get to Berlin, it'll be Thursday. And Friday I get on a train to go to this retreat that I'm going to be sharing at with our church there. So if you could just remember to say some special extra prayers, I would really appreciate it that God would use the time there and really touch people's lives. Then I'll be there through the week having some meetings, and then the following week sharing at their service and flying home Monday the 12th. So you could also pray I don't get sick. There's been a lot of junk going around, and last time I was there I was sick for 17 days and the volcano came, so I got stuck there even longer, and it's no fun being sick on somebody else's couch. And my wife's been really sick, so I've been staying away from her. I was like, girl, do not. I know you want to hug me and all that, just get away from me. So, no, actually, I never have to do that, to be honest. That's okay. She's got to keep me away, not vice versa. So I've been sleeping down in my little corner of the house, quarantining myself in the hopes that I don't end up on a plane sick. You know, that's a drag. So let's bow our heads forward to prayer, and then we'll get into this topic tonight. Father, we just thank you so much that indeed you did come and save us. You changed our lives, Lord. Nothing's the same in this world since Jesus Christ came. And though, Lord, we still may have sin, and we have so much degradation and so much brokenness, we also have tremendous miracles. We also have countless millions and millions of lives that have been saved and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And goodness has come into the world, where otherwise there was nothing but bleak, dark pain and anguish. And we thank you, you're the hope of the world. We thank you, you're our only hope. And Lord, tonight we just ask you that you'd speak to our hearts. You give us open hearts to be responsive to the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we started this series a few weeks ago. It's entitled The Three Most Essential Things. And I just want to briefly recap them for you in case you were not here or were not able to be here. But basically, there are three essential characteristics in order for God to use you. Now, someone had a very good question last week, a young person who normally is probably not used to that term. And when we think of using people, when we say, I want to use you, that's not usually thought of as a very good term. What I mean by that is, in order for God to put you in his game, you want to sit on the bench the rest of your life, then ignore the last 3 weeks. I sincerely mean that. But if you want God to get you in the game, if you want God to play you, if you want God to make use of your life, and you and I know the only meaning in life is when we're being useful to God. It's no fun sitting on the sidelines and watching everyone else get to play. And this is the hunger that has urged me on for almost 37 years. Is God put me in the game? I want to be useful to you. I want to be fit for the Master's service. I don't want to spend my life in meaningless pursuits and watching you use everybody else. I want to be useful to God. Secondly, I want to succeed in the things that are meaningful, the things that matter most. So that's why I'm doing this series. And third reason is because I see these three things as being the single greatest needs of this generation. They are prevalent throughout all ages, but this generation in particular has a tremendous need for, first of all, humility. And humility is defined as a hunger and yearning to learn from God. It's a hunger and a yearning to learn. That's one of the hallmarks of humility. Humility does not think it knows everything about everything. But humility recognizes I have a desperate need for God. I need to know God. I need to understand God's ways. And I understand my neediness before God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. We live in a world today and amongst people who do the exact opposite. They do not trust God. They do not believe they need God. They're not desperate for God. They're not hungry for God. And they ignore the ways of God. You cannot be that if you want to succeed in life. The Bible says very clearly this. God opposes the proud, but gives special favor and grace to the humble. If you want God's special anointing in your life, if you want God's power unleashed in your life, if you want to experience the grace of God, the favor of God in your life, then you've got to learn to walk before God in humility. Which means, Lord, I want to learn. Now, one of the practices of a humble person, and we'll get into this tonight, is a devotion to the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Most people spend their entire lives ignoring this book. They know more about their sports team, they know more about their favorite hobby, than they know about God, or the ways of God, or the commands of God, and the precepts of God. That is not humility. That's arrogance. It's just a passive indifference towards God that says, I don't really need you. To live that way, there are multitudes of people today who claim to be Christians, and they start their day, at breakfast or maybe at lunch or dinner, and they bow their heads and they pray over their meal. That's token. That's token worship to God. That's like the Israelites who ignored all the greater commandments of God, but at least they showed up at the temple and brought their, you know, half-dead sheep or their scarred or sickly calf and sacrificed it to God. God was very upset with that. It's kind of a slap in the face to God, to the Creator, that we don't recognize we need Him. The second characteristic that is essential is self-discipline. Self-discipline is the will to do and to practice what you learn and know is right. Humility allows you to learn. Self-discipline is what puts into practice that which God showed you. It's the choice to make one's body, mind, spirit, and emotions submit to what God wants us to do, what God wants us to think, what God wants us to believe, and how God wants us to act. It's the will to do the wise thing. The things that are healthy, noble, and upright. It is our choice to lead ourselves. So many people live by how they feel. Do you know that? Most Christians live by how they feel. Most Christians determine right and wrong by what they feel. Most people allow their emotions to lead their life. God wants us to learn to lead our emotions. God wants us to learn to buffet our body, mind, soul, spirit, and emotions and make them do what we want them to do. And even if our emotions don't cooperate, we learn it doesn't matter. What God is honored by is by our obedience. So many Christians think to themselves, you know, Mark, if I don't really feel like doing this, should I do it? Isn't that hypocrisy? No, that's not hypocrisy. It's the right thing to do. If I were to ask, I won't, but if I've done this before, how many of you could not wait to get up and sincerely go to work today? I mean, you were so excited. You just couldn't wait. Oh, what a joy. I just love my job. I just can't wait to serve the moron at work. It's wonderful. That wasn't how you got out of bed. Most of you are wishing it was already Saturday. You know it. Was it hypocrisy that you went to work? No, you did the right thing. You did the opposite of what you felt like doing.
That's what you need to learn to do in every area of your life. In every area of your life. The grace of God teaches us to say no. No to ungodliness. You see? That's what God's grace empowers us to do. I can say no. No, I'm not going to eat that. No, I'm going to resist. I have a goal to save some money and I'm not going to buy that. I don't really need that. That's not something I need. So we've got to learn self-discipline. I wanted to comment on this last week, but I forgot, so I wrote it down for this week. And this is a special word to you moms that are here. The quality of self-discipline is the single most important quality you will need to raise your children. I don't ever want you to forget that. You must lead yourself and not procrastinate or go about your mothering in a lazy manner, or it will be your children's undoing. One of the things, you know, I go to, I'm part of our Great Commission Church board, and I'm part of a group of guys nationally, and we get together a couple times a year, and we spend 3 days together, part of it in prayer. We discuss what are issues going on. And one of the things that we've observed is simply this. We've observed that where there's a family where the father is strong spiritually, he's following the Lord, loving Christ, living passionately for Jesus Christ, and leading his family. And number two, where he's partnered with a wife who is disciplined, self-disciplined. There's a tremendous difference in their children. But so often, today, it's so easy, moms. Well, we're going to get to this in a moment, my last quality. But it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to feel overwhelmed. And we've got to learn, ladies, we've got to learn to make our emotions do what we want them to do. And we've got to learn to make our soul, our spirit, our body, our mind think and do and keep our eye on the prize as we raise those little ones for Jesus Christ. We cannot throw in the towel when they need discipline. This was without question, besides Kathy's walk with Christ, my wife Kathy, her strongest characteristic. She was incredibly disciplined. When I met Kathy, I'm not saying you have to do this, ladies. I'm just using this as an illustration. But when I met Kathy, she was running 17 miles a day. She'd do 300 crunches a day, and there wasn't a girls' gym in those days. She'd go to the guys' gym and use their weights to work out. If she had her period, if she was anemic, it did not matter. She ran. She pushed herself. She pushed herself. She pushed herself. And I have watched her through the years, through 36 years we've been together, 32 of those married. I have watched her push herself through an undiagnosed terrible thyroid disorder, chronic fatigue syndrome, poor back, neck and spine in pain. When those children had a need, there was no procrastinating. She was on it. 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 And she encouraged her spirit, and she kept it encouraged, and she did not allow her body to drag her down and use it as an excuse. You know what, Lord? I'm sorry, Lord. You just got to change my circumstances if you want me to really raise these kids for you, because my circumstances are bad, and I don't feel good, and I don't have the strength, so therefore, I'm not going to do it. She's mind-blowing. She just blows my mind with the amount of discipline that she brought to her life and to her day and to her thoughts and to her faith and to her children. So moms, begin. Begin. Do not be, and dads and young people, men and women, do not procrastinate. Develop self-discipline. I don't know how many of you took time last week. I'm not even going to ask. Maybe you'll do it this weekend. To sit down and ask yourself, what am I going to change in my life? And get started changing things in your life. Take something as simple as your money. All right? Most of you here probably don't have a savings account. At least statistically, that's what the surveys would show. You need to get one. So, how about you just decide this, okay? Think about how difficult this is for most people. How about you just decide, I am not going to eat out anymore. Oh my gosh, Mark, I'd die. No, you won't. Well, go buy it cheaper at Trader Joe's if you want, or Aldi if you want, or Walmart if you want, or Target if you want, wherever you so choose. Go buy it cheaper, make your own sandwich, and start putting $20 a week in the bank. Bring some discipline to your life. Decide, you know what, Lord? I really want to get up to meet with you. Okay, now, I haven't walked with the Lord as long as Mark or some of those older Christians. So, Lord, I just want to get up 30 minutes earlier. Great. Get your fanny to bed at 10. Most of you are young enough. I'm, you know, usually in bed reading by 8:30. Turning my lights out by 9 and 4 a.m., getting up. So I got things to do. I got things to talk to God about. That's just where I'm at. You may not be there. That's okay. But you, I'll tell you something. Young person, listen to me. I know you won't believe me because you think, oh, it's so much fun to hang out late. Nothing good happens late. In all these years, I've discovered nothing really meaningful. Nothing much good happens past 9:30. Just go to bed. Seriously. You think, oh, Mark, we have all these meaningful conversations. No, you don't. You really don't. You've been doing that all day texting anyway. So just simply start to wind down. Get into a routine. Put the coffee in the pot already with the water ready to go. So when you stumble out of your bedroom, you just push the button like me. Boom, it's ready to go. Go down and get my shower. By the time I come up, it's hot, it's ready, it's delicious. You really need to try organic coffee, by the way, folks. Quit drinking that poison other stuff, okay? Coffee is the number one pesticide-laden plant in the entire world. Apples are second. There, you learned some new things tonight, okay? So Trader Joe's breakfast blend, organic coffee, it'll blow your mind. That was a freebie. You don't have to pay for that one tonight. That was just extra. Okay. But you see, if you sit down, it's amazing how many things could change in your life. And then just decide, you know what? Okay, if I get to bed by 10, some of you have never done the math. If you get to bed at 10, you start to wind down, you get up at 5:30, that's 7.5 hours of sleep. If you get up at 6, that's about 8. I wear a watch to bed every night. A different watch has a light on. I can tell exactly. Oh, I turn a little light on. What time is it? Okay, this is the fourth time I got up to go to the bathroom. Fortunately, you're not as old as I am, so that doesn't happen to you. You guys just fall asleep like babies. But I put earplugs in so I don't hear anything, and I keep the window wide open so the room's freezing, and I sleep better when it's cold. Like I try to do at this room, but the heater's on back there. I'm sitting back there going, why am I so hot? The heater's on. Ladies, if you're cold, just go back there to the wall. Okay, the third thing. This is what we're going to talk about for the remainder of our time. You can have all the humility in the world. You can have all the self-discipline in the world. But listen very carefully to this. Without perseverance, nothing will change. Without endurance, nothing will change. I have known in my life hundreds and thousands of people who started out strong. I have had people come up to me and go, Mark, at a conference, I've had this happen so many times. Mark, would you disciple me? Will you disciple me? Oh, please, I really want to grow. I really want to go. I want to be a disciple. And usually my answer is, well, how about you join us? Here's what I'm thinking. They don't know I'm thinking this. This is what I say, but they don't know what's behind what I'm saying. Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited by your desire. That's fantastic. How about you do this? Get into a small group, start going to house church, and then I don't say this. And prove to me after a year you're still going to be around. Show me something! Show me something! Prove that you're worth the investment of the time. Because I got a money that many of you won't stick it out past 2 years. And it breaks my heart to say that. But I have seen it so many, many, many times. Listen to me. God cannot use quitters. You cannot quit. You cannot quit. You cannot throw in the towel. You cannot give up. You cannot walk away. You're going to have to learn how to persevere and develop and grow in the things that are difficult. And I want you, if you're writing something down, some of you I know try. I'm sorry, we do this in the dark. It helps you pay more attention. That's the biggest reason we do it. But if you try and write something down, burn this in your brain. Do hard things. for the rest of your life, you're going to need to understand that walking with Jesus Christ is about doing hard things. And when you first start them, they're really, really hard. Now, I've been following the Lord long enough. For example, when I used to prepare to teach, it was very hard. When I used to try to get up out of bed, I remember shortly before Kathy and I were married, I got a job. It was the only job I could get in Ames, Iowa, as a breakfast cook at a Ramada Inn. I had to be to work by 5. Now, I'm saying this to you honestly. When you get to be my age and the 36 years, and we're talking really longer than all of you been alive, the 36 years of pretty rigorous discipline in my life, I'm telling you this honestly, it's just not hard for me to get up at 4 a.m. Most of you, that would be you're crazy, Mark. That would be so difficult. When I was 30 and I started pastoring here and planting these churches, regularly I'd go to bed at 2 a.m. No problem. I'd study, I'd do work at night, I'd even have, at the time I had young people calling me till the wee hours. I just could not unwind. So here I am, 21 years old, and I got to be to work at 5, which means I got to get up at 4, and I had a bike that I had to ride, and because my car, well, it was broken. I couldn't fix it. I didn't have the money. And I had to go get all the ovens on and get all the eggs ready and the batter made for the pancake and then wait on people and do it cheerfully. And I wanted to be a good testimony. Now, when you're that young, for me anyway, I'd never been a morning person my whole life. I had to discipline myself and stick with it. And some very hard things happened on that job. Some very, very, I worked with some really moronic people. And it really tested me. I wanted so bad. There were so many times I just like, Kathy, you know, I'd see her afterwards or we'd talk later in the evening. I can't stand it. I got to get out of there. I hate touching dead things. I've never cooked my whole life. I don't even cook for myself. And I'm doing this for a job. Mark can't quit. You know, you can't quit, Mark. You got to stick with this. You got to stick with this. You got to learn to stick with things, Mark. Self-talk. So you got to learn to have self-talk. You got to learn to say to you what you know God wants you to say to you. And you say it. You can't quit. So many people start out in a particular thing or a relationship or a habit or their walk with God, and they start strong and determined only to fade away in desire and follow through with the passing of time. I have watched so many people fizzle and quit. You can never succeed in life or be useful to God if you're a quitter. Think about this for a moment. Self-discipline will not matter if you quit, if you don't persevere in the discipline. So all the self-discipline in the world is useless if you quit, if you eventually quit, whether it's with your finances, whether it's with your exercise. I know this sounds mind-blowing, but I've been exercising every day longer than most of you have been alive. Every single day. Every single day. I started out, as I told you before, small. That's the secret. That's the secret so that you don't get discouraged. Most of you in this room are not going to be able to manage an hour a day in prayer. That's what I'm doing. You're not going to be able to manage that. But most of you aren't spending 10 minutes. Some of you that are 10, you need to move that clock to 20. And you need to put that in your life, and you need to start praying for things that you want to see changed. And praying for friends, and praying for people, and praying for your finances, and pray by name. Don't just say, oh Lord, bless everybody at work. Lord, I just ask you for Tom at work. Lord, you know, it's a really difficult relationship that I have with this guy. He's just an idiot. And it taxes me, Lord, but I just pray you help me to love him. Help me, Lord, to be kind with him. God, I pray that I'd be a light in his life and that you would speak to his heart. There, that's interceding for that guy. And then you go to the next one. And then you go to the next one. Then you go to your family members. You pray for your family members. And then maybe a neighbor or someone that you've been reaching out to for Christ. And you pray for the things in your heart and your mind that you want to see happen. I can't tell you how many hundreds of hours I put in begging God to use me, begging God to make my life, my mouth effective for Jesus Christ, begging God to give me wisdom and understanding and insight, begging God to help me as a father, as a trainer, as a husband. So many spiritual desires. Praying that God would make me even more hungry than I already was. And fanning into flame the gift of God that's within me. That's your responsibility. The Bible says that. Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that's within you. There's no way to put it on automatic pilot. Every single day the flesh is trying to pull you down. And you've got to smack the flesh in the face and fan that flame. You cannot run from hard stuff. You must be willing to endure painful and difficult things in all areas of your life. So many people take the easy way out, the pleasurable way. They just decide to have fun instead of meaningfully sticking with something hard for the long term. I just want to read a few verses to you this evening and then comment on that. Listen to these verses. This is Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. See, this is what you need to do. See, you sit down and you start throwing things off with a plan. You make a plan. And I'm not going to do this anymore, Lord. I'm going to throw this off. I'm going to throw that off. I mean, listen. If you're one of the first things I did after I came to Christ, I know this is going to show my age, but I took my REO Speedwagon, my fog hat, my Led Zeppelin, all my albums, and I threw them all away. You say, that's God's money. I could care less with God's money. I threw them away. I got them out of my life. Why? Because I'm a fanatic about music. I absolutely love music. I love music. I knew I need to get rid of those messages. I need to get rid of this distraction. It's gone. I trashed them. In fact, so I wouldn't take them back, I had joy in breaking each one of them. I just busted them. Get rid of them. Clean out your life. Clean out your life. Now for you guys, maybe it's your digital iPod or your MP3. Okay, just erase. Erase the crap. Get rid of the crap and replace it with something new. Something better. Something wholesome. Something that will help lead you down the road where you know God wants you to go. If you got a shelf full of books or video games that you know, holy smoke, these are such a distraction, then, you know, if you got video games, take them somewhere. Get a little money for them. If you want, use the money for something positive in your life. Get rid of them. Especially if you know, if you're honest, if you ask your friends, you're really addicted to them. You're playing them all the time. You can't really concentrate. You've got to get rid of these things. You need to throw off the things that easily entangle you and then run with perseverance the race marked out for you, fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ. What was he like? Who is he? What did he endure? The pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see Jesus' example? Have you ever seen the movie that Mel Gibson made? Forget the name of it. About the crucifixion. There you go. Thank you. He endured that. Have you endured anything that hard? Have you endured the entire weight of the world on your shoulders? Literally. We find hope in Jesus. See, we find encouragement in Jesus. He's our example. Look at what he endured. That's what it says. Look what he endured so you won't lose heart. He had joy set before him. That's one of the secrets to perseverance is joy. One of the great secrets to Kathy's self-discipline and her perseverance was the joy that was before her of what the children would become when they were 20. She wasn't worried. Oh, today was a rough day. Oh, today we had to deal with this. Oh, today we had to deal with that. It was the picture in her mind and my mind, and we painted it frequently, of what those children will be like when they're 20, when they're through the grid, they're through the process. Of course, we're never done with the process. They're still growing in many, many ways. We kept our eye on the prize. We kept our eye on developing character and godliness in their life. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, which is a synonym of perseverance. So that when you have done the will of God, excuse me, you receive what was promised. Don't let yourself get tired of doing good. If you don't give up, you'll get what is coming at the right time. See, you can't give up. You can't give up. Endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. I don't have time tonight. I know sometimes you all get tired of my stories. But I could tell you 36 years worth of stories of unending difficulties that Kathy and I have had to go through. They still have not ended. I think what's changed a little bit is my capacity to find joy in the midst of them. They still have not ended. They're still going on and on. Different forms, sometimes less intense, certainly, than the previous 7 years, and then all the things that happened through pastoring. If I told you some of the things, you would think to yourself, Mark, I can't even believe that story. Why didn't you just resign? Why didn't you just walk away? Starting from the very moment I met Kathy, was just one trial after another, and they have not stopped for 36 years. I believe part of why they have not is because of what Kathy and I are hungry for. And that's usefulness to God. Usefulness to God. I want so badly for God. I've told the Lord, in fact, use me or kill me. Use me or take me home. And I really mean it. Make me useful. Make me fit for your service. Give me the strength to serve you. Or simply take me home, because the world has nothing that I want. When my friends were playing games, I was studying my Bible. Or I was working. Or I was praying. Or I was trying to reach others. Or I was involved in some kind of discipling of other people. I just did not have time for playing around. And I still don't to this day. That doesn't mean I don't relax. That doesn't mean I don't kick back from time to time. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that's never been the focus in any way, shape, or form in my Christian life. You've got to learn to do hard things. I'm going to end with these three things. How do you persevere? Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and the goal you're striving for. You can't ever lose sight of what you're striving for. You can't ever lose sight of what's urging you on. What is urging you on? I asked you a few weeks ago, but I want you to think about this. What is it you really want in life? What do you want? You really, really want. What are you hungry for? What do you feed? What hunger do you feed in your life? I know what I feed in mine. And I think it's obvious that you know that as well. But what do you feed? Your hunger urges you on. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, on pleasing Him, on honoring Him, on what He went through. Number two, you've got to keep yourself encouraged and prayerful. You've got to keep yourself encouraged. Other people are not going to do it. I love the body of Christ. I love the Christians. I've given my life for them, and I will till I die. The church of Jesus Christ is my life. It's my life. We are members of one another. We are parts of each other's body. We need each other. But I've never, ever, ever, ever waited around for somebody to encourage me. I knew I needed to go encourage myself in the Lord. I knew I needed to dig into the Word of God, and I needed to find hope in the promises of God. And number two, about that, I needed to be prayerful. I needed to be asking God to change things, to bring things about in my life. If Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. I was never going to be accused of God that I did not ask. I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask. And every day, there are many, many things that I'm asking God for. It's up to Him to do them. I'm trying to do my part, not only in prayer, but work to see those things happen. And number three, This is very important. Surround yourself with others who are pursuing the same goals in life. I cannot tell you how much the church has meant to me. All throughout my young life, my young Christian life, now my older Christian life, all those years we were raising our children, Kathy and I surrounded ourselves with companions, with men and women who are pursuing the same goals. And if I was trying to reach someone for Christ, now listen very clearly on this because this will sound really hard. If I'm trying to win someone to Christ, I completely understand that they don't have the same goals in life I do. That's okay. I give them a lot of grace. I do not surround myself with Christians who are playing games. I'm a lot harder on the Christians. I don't have time for it. And I made sure that my companions and my friends, we were going in the same direction. And my intimate friendships with people were going the same direction. And the churches that I'm involved with, we've got the same goals. And if you want to break habits of dysfunction in your life, one of the great secrets is surround yourself with other godly people who are running after Jesus Christ, who are trying. Again, I'm not saying I've surrounded myself with perfect people. If that were the case, I couldn't be anybody's friend either. Who will want me in their life? I am far from perfect. I just have desire. And I know what it is I'm going after. And that's what this church is about. That's a big part of what we're about. You see, we're trying to go in the same direction. And we'll bring you with us. You come along with us. But if that's not what you want over time, what will just happen is you'll just drift away. You'll just drift away. And you'll be back to the world and back to the former way of life and back to those habits and back in the mud and back in the dysfunction and back in the mess. We desperately need each other. Well, I really appreciate you sticking with me through this series. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And I want you to know I pray for you guys every day. I don't know everyone's name, but I know there are many of you here with extra needs, and many of you in that situation, I know, whether it's your health situation or family situation or a job situation, I pray for you by name. And if there's some of you that have something going on in your life you'd like me to pray for, if you'll write it to me, Mark at Rock the Church, and send it to me briefly, I will add that to my prayer list. Father, I just thank you tonight for your faithfulness in our lives and for the power of Jesus Christ that resides in each of us. That's the power, Lord, that unlocks these abilities. It is not our, you know, we're just grinding it out because we're so determined. But it's our determination combined with the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. It's not just us gritting our teeth and getting through the long haul, but it's us trusting God and resting on the promises of God and finding our hope and encouragement in you, and then simply determining, I'm not going to quit. And we continue to do what's right. Help us, Lord, change the lives of every single person in this room in some way through this series, Change Lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are found.